flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. Sorry, I just had to let the beat ride a little bit. You are in the loop. Here on Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you, having some real Friday vibes, having a lot of fun. You guys get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. Also the YouTube, where I appreciate y'all weighing in on the debate when it comes to the Oxcord. I'll bring that up in confessions because I want to get to the bottom of of what this road trip is going to look like.
You know, yeah, the rules.
We're headed to NOLA. We're headed to NOLA this weekend for Radio Row. Next week, we'll be there all week having interviews and, you know, having fun in New Orleans. And we'll bring you all sorts of stories of what's happening there. And, of course, it starts with the road trip down there. But before we get there, I do wonder, do you think we're going to be in New Orleans? Like, there's not going to be resolution on this Texans OC search by then, is there?
Yes. Yes, there will. I think by
the... Really? You still think we will be trying to figure out?
We will know the...
Oh, we would know.
We will know the next offensive coordinator by the time we get in the vehicle to return to Houston.
Okay.
Hey, break the news, man.
Find that to
Come
be
on, man.
I mean...
Lopez has been working the phone over there all morning,
hey,
man.
They are moving... it's interesting. How do you view the way that they're moving? Because it does not feel like they're... I feel like we're also, you know, locked in on it. You can say that they're moving slowly, but they've had, or at least according to reports, by the end of today, it feels like they will have 7 interviews under their belt in what, like a week and some?
Yeah, that's fast.
A week?
That's fast.
That's pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's not slow.
And so... I guess the way they will start this. Raise your hand if you haven't been interviewed for the Texans OC position.
Okay, who hasn't been interviewed?
I haven't. They haven't gotten around to me yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, though. But you have seven names that you have had put down for interviews. A few names have jumped up recently. Obviously, Jeff Nixon is one of the earlier ones. Thad Lewis. Sorry, let me make sure I get this right. Jeff Nixon, who is currently the OC at Syracuse in college. Thad Lewis, currently the quarterback coach in Tampa. Nick Caley, the passing game coordinator and tight ends coach under Sean McVay and in LA with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, he just today, at least we're getting reporting, that he has pulled himself out of the search for offensive coordinator with the New York Jets under Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Lazor, who was the special offensive assistant earlier with this Texans team just last year, he is probably the most tenured, definitely the most tenured when it comes to actually play calling. He's had 3 OC stints in the NFL where he's been some level of a play caller, whether it's, you know, been taken away at various points, has happened. Gerard Johnson, who was the quarterback coach here for the Texans, great relationship with C.J. Stroud that we know of. Grant Udinski has now been added to this, and this is, he believed, as the assistant quarterbacks coach with the Vikings. So, hey, Josh McCown ties.
Mm-hmm.
But he is 29 years of age, and he just turned 29. His birthday is in January this month. He is a very young guy, but like widely regarded as like really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that one. We'll talk more about that. And then Brian Johnson, who is a, you know, Baytown boy, went to Lee out there in Baytown.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, he has been, where did he end up? in this cycle. I forgot where he ended up just recently, but I think a lot of people will know him mm-hmm. from his time two seasons ago as the offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that was not a great season for them offensively. It was all right. The numbers were pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I think when you talk about the Eagles offense in general, they definitely had a bounce back season this year. But it feels like there's a little bit of a type. Texas might have a type with this OC search that we're really circling in on.
Yeah. Younger. Certainly, you know, guys that have been sort of skyrocketing with their acumen and their play calling and their talent. But you asked earlier, you know, well, what do I think about this approach? I love this approach. I really do. I think what's going on here is you got, first of all, the most important thing, collaboration. This isn't a Cal and Hanna thing. It's not a Nick Caserio thing. It's not a D'Amico thing. It's a collaborative thing. And you can see that from the candidates. Like, let's say they had some interest in Chip Kelly, which doesn't seem to be the case. That would be more of a big picture. You got to go to the owners. Are you willing to pay $4 million? Whatever. Then you have, you know, Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson in-house, D'Amico Ryans clearly, and in Bill Lazor's case, I would think, well, both of them, you know, Nick Caserio as well. You know, these are our guys. Let's see what they have to say. They have, you know, kind of better backgrounds, kind of whole backgrounds in terms of systems and stuff. You have Nick Caley. You know, it's just a real collaboration. And the other thing I like a lot about it is they're only going to hire one, as we know. But they're getting this.
One would hope. Just like, we got the triple offense coordinator.
You know what we're going to do? I got an idea. Let's go with two. No. They're only going to hire one. But what's going to happen is they've got information on all these young guys. You know, if they ever need a, you know, a quarterback's coach, let's say Udinski, who has,
if he happens to be out there or something.
Yeah, well, even now. Like, let's say whichever offensive coordinator they bring in. They, you know, D'Amico might say, have you ever worked with this guy? What do you know about this guy? We hear nothing but great things. He's never had a full-time position job in the NFL. He's been an assistant quarterbacks coach, an assistant tight ends, I think a special assistant to the head coach when he started. This would be like, hey, get a promotion. Be the quarterbacks coach for X, Y, or Z, you know, offensive coordinator. Same thing with some of these other guys who might be able to fit in. And maybe if you have the success that you think you're going to have, you already have a file on guys that you might circle back to next time.
Yeah, especially, yeah, because that's also part of it is, yeah, if you get somebody who is truly up and coming, you might end up in the place that you thought you were with Bobby Slowick mm-hmm. a year ago where, oh, wow, we are losing our coordinator 1 year into having our coordinator. We need to go back into this space. I do like the idea that you're putting forward that maybe they're doing like the whole offensive staff searches right now.
And they're like, kicking the tires.
I also had a moment of thought, and mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I don't have a lot of love for the companies that do this mm-hmm. because it feels a little skeevy. And so I feel bad trying to put this on the Texans, but it's just something that came to mind. And so I will say, and I'll allow you to make the judgment, dear listener. Are they doing the thing where they have everybody coming with a binder? What would you do? Huh, that's an interesting plan. All right, we'll call you.
Yeah.
And we're just like, right, let's write that down.
Yeah,
write
absolutely.
That down. Maybe we implement some of that.
That's part of the information you're getting. I don't mind it.
Because
it's a little bit like,
yeah, I mean, it's a little bit
underhanded, maybe is the best way to put it.
So if there was a hypothetical project coming up for this company, how would you answer this? Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then take the notes and then go and implement.
That's why I like this. Like, it's not necessarily, you know, the most upstanding thing to do, but it works and it's smart to do. And then there's these connections, as I mentioned, you know, about. There's a lot of Chip Kelly. I didn't mention that. There's a lot of Chip Kelly connections with some of these guys. Maybe they don't, you know, necessarily have a chance at Chip, or he's withdrawn his name, as Aaron Wilson has said. But they like kind of some of the concepts, you know, that Chip Kelly might do. There's a, you know, Nick Caley is very much a direct line to Nick Caserio. You know, maybe Caserio's like, loves Nick Caley.
He spent a lot of time in that Patriots system there.
Yeah, exactly. Patriots way.
Yeah, well, and maybe that's where it's not going to happen if D'Amico doesn't sign off on it, you know, even though he might be a Nick Caserio guy. And then there's the Grant Udinski, who we talked about. You say a Josh McCown guy. He worked with Gerard Johnson in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of little things that they're benefiting from here in terms of, like, the information they're getting, the potential hires they might make, with this offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, I was real interested because when Brian Johnson's name came up yesterday, I was like, I imagine that there might be a lack of appeal for him specifically because he has been He has been a high profile name in that he was with the Eagles a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And when he was with the Eagles, it did not seem to go particularly great as a coordinator. The passing game was fine. Like, obviously working under Sirianni, but immediately what came to mind was the ESPN wrote a big piece, mm-hmm. I believe the beginning of this past football season, about how Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni were trying to bridge the gap that they had previously, and it detailed that previous year and the chasm that seemed to be there between them. I realized actually that's one of the issues or one of the places where I was like, yo, I have questions about Nick Sirianni as a mm-hmm. coach. Because it seemed like Nick Sirianni, obviously after working with Steichen, he had some, and Steichen leaves and Jonathan Gannon leaves, and they need to get some new coordinators. One of those coordinators was Brian Johnson, and Brian Johnson was an internal hire. He was previously the quarterback coach. And so similarly, like with Gerard Johnson with C.J. Stroud, he had a good relationship with Jalen Hurts. In fact, Brian Johnson, as I mentioned, he went to Lee, just like Jalen Hurts did, and like Hurts's pops, who coached at Lee, rather. They had a closeness. They had a seeming, they were in one accord in some ways. And Nick Sirianni he did not want Brian Johnson to really put his full fingerprints. He was on some, if it's not broken, don't fix it type of thing. So I wonder how much of Brian Johnson's ideas of offense you got in that circumstance, because Nick Sirianni wanted that.
That happens a lot.
And there was reporting it was Nick Sirianni's offense, but that he would actively overrule the play caller in Brian Johnson at various points. And that was part of what created a lot of discord between the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who did not get a lot of input, mm-hmm. and Nick Sirianni, who really wanted to have a grasp on the entirety of the offense. And also, like,
Does that sound familiar?
It does sound a little familiar as I started laying it out. But I do wonder if that means that Brian Johnson has more in there that's not going to be indicative of what a lot of people think of when they think of his tenure as Eagles offensive coordinator.
I think that's a great point, and I think it applies to a lot of people here. That's why these interviews, I like the process. I like that they're kicking the tires on so many different guys. You know, D'Amico's probably sitting ahead of Brian Johnson saying, all right, tell me how you would do it if you were in charge. Same thing with Bill Lazor, same thing with Gerard Johnson, because neither of those guys was going to completely, circumvent or stab Bobby Slowick in the back and say, hey, this guy is inflexible or whatever. So I think that's a big part of what this interview process is. All right, you're in charge now. You have the final call, because D'Amico is going to turn the offense over to this coordinator.
That's right.
You know, he'll pop his head in there, but he's going to turn it over. So all right, so you're in charge. You didn't have autonomy, or you weren't heard in Philadelphia. You didn't have autonomy here, Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson. You weren't really going to rock the boat, so to speak, with Bobby Slowick. What would you do if you're the last guy? I think that's important. Let me ask you this, both of you guys. If you had to pick today, who is it?
How you going to ask the question I was about to ask you? You're just going to flip the question on me? What a jerk. All right, so I kind of want to drill down into this, because I...
Pick your guy.
I realize...
Not necessarily your guy. Pick who you think it's going to be.
Oh, I can't tell you who I think it's going to be. I don't know that I have a good idea. I'm just now getting a grasp on what it feels like they are looking for. Because you talked about the idea of turning the offense over. Mm. There's only one guy here, maybe you can go for two, that feel like they bring the experienced guy, the guy who has a whole bunch of experience and has a lot of a lot of skins on the wall to this position. And that's Bill Lazor. But I mean, when you look at the large group, he gets probably a look because he's been internal and that type of thing. It looks like they want to go younger. It looks like they want to go with like somebody that brings fresh and new ideas. So you have Bill Lazor, who has been, who's had a lot of time in the NFL. I believe he has 29 years in coaching, 9 years as an OC between the NFL and college football. And then Jeff Nixon is the other one, who's had 27 years and then 2 years as a co-office coordinator at the college level. Mm-hmm. Those are the only guys that are coming through with the level of, I think, experience that's somewhat in that level. Then I think that there's a level of appeal with Gerard Johnson already having that one understanding of where you've been to where you want to go, that bridge, like immediately being able to hit and jump in. I think Brian Johnson, bringing him in has really piqued my interest. Part of what I said there, and I mean, he has a little bit of a local connection, obviously, not that that would mean a whole bunch in what we're talking about here, but I kind of like him. I think that he has some really cool opportunities, and he also has like a tie to like Cliff Kingsbury as well in the offense that he's had.
Yeah.
If you have any level of appeal to what Washington did this year, but I don't know. It feels like Gerard Johnson is still pretty well situated. Or I mean, Nick Caley is also one of those ones that if you wanted to keep something somewhat similar, right? With seeing how kind of Sean McVay has bridged some of these things, but also getting that New England Patriots tie. Those guys feel like the leaders in my mind. And honestly, it seems like they might go internal with Gerard right now.
I would have to... Figgy, first you. What's your gut telling you?
I was kind of leaning towards Gerard, but I really have no clue. If I had to put money on somebody, I would probably put money on Gerard.
I would put money on Gerard or Nick Caley. I think Caley is probably one of those that certainly has that that experience with Nick Caserio, but I think he's also beyond that. He's kind of spread his own wings and done his own thing.
The other thing is, I'm not sure how much they want to change with the offense.
Right.
Because it seemed like they're fine with the way the... I mean, I know they wasn't fine with the way
they
the
offense... They want blocking schemes changed. They like other looks.
Yeah, they like the offense. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like maybe they want somebody to run it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they want to bring somebody from the outside to kind of change the whole offense, or maybe Gerard can do something different than Bobby Slowick, or Bill Lazor can do something different than what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, one thing you won't be able to say is that they were not thorough in this. This is a pretty wide group, and it feels like every day we're getting more people that they've interviewed and talked to. But, again, a lot of them relatively young. Not that they don't have experience, you know, on certain levels, but at the highest level, like being a coordinator or at least having those particular decisions, those guys haven't been in. But you're looking at guys that fit all sorts of different and have had different mentors in the coaching game that really do run the gamut of various different offenses, which... So, like, as much as young and fresh seems to be a motif in here, it does not seem like there's a very specific, oh, we're going to have a Shanahan type system in that way, which I find to be interesting because we've talked about how this hire is going to also impact what you do personnel-wise, and that makes me wonder, like, how are they approaching the Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl? Like, and these
see, that's
things
why
where
I think,
they're looking at players.
And they can get by without knowing, you know, by the end of the Senior Bowl, which is pretty much over now.
Sure. I mean, again, we still got 3 months, like I said, till
but,
the draft
but
actually
they do
hits.
Need to find out sooner rather than later. I'll say by the time we're driving home Friday, we're going to know the OC.
Okay, so you're putting that date on it.
Yeah.
I think they could... Yeah, I would like to know it by that time. I was like, I think that they could take a little bit longer if they really wanted to. But when we're coming back, what's that, like the 7th?
Mm-hmm. So you mean next week?
Next week.
Next week.
A week from today, we'll know.
Somebody said Brian Johnson to the Texans would be worse than Schottenheimer to the Cowboys. I don't think that's the case, but
is
I understand.
Is that bad?
I disagree
with
that.
No, Reinheimer to the Cowboys is bad.
Yeah, and that's... Ooh, that's
bad.
There's quite a bit of reporting there that apparently Jerry Jones... was talking to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll had a lot of interest there.
Yeah.
And apparently in talking to Pete Carroll, was really spoke glowingly about Schottenheimer. And apparently Schottenheimer said that he would only return and work work at least as offense coordinator if he could get play calling duties. And I guess that took Jerry to a place where he's like, we can't lose this man. And I guess that ultimately...
He played him.
Oh, man.
He played him.
Maybe so.
Yeah, he played
maybe
him.
Maybe so. So I don't know that I would make that akin to Brian Johnson.
So Pete Carroll pretty much got him the job.
Yeah.
Although it seemed like Pete Carroll wanted the job for himself. So I have no idea how that actually works. But that's the Cowboys up there. You're not operating. You're actually talking to a whole bunch of people for the opening that you have here. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions here on In the Loop.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's lunchtime confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so we've all watched that college basketball game where the home team is up, let's say 25, 30 points, 3 minutes left in the game.
25 points?
Yeah, 3 minutes left in the game. Coach looks to the end of the bench and tells the 5'11" white guy to get in the game.
Oh.
Right? Right?
Why you got to be a white guy?
I don't know, but it generally has been. Call me crazy. And then the crowd goes nuts, right? They start cheering and they hope he takes a shot and they hope he scores. And if he does, they go crazy and it's all that. That's Bronny James.
Damn, man. Ronnie James is the dude on the team who is keeping the GPA up.
That's
he's the GPA walk on.
Did you see what happened last night?
He finished an and one layup.
Yeah,
on the road.
Take that, Stephen A.
Was it Washington? I think it was Washington.
Yeah, they were playing the Wizards.
On the road, they got Bronny James in a complete blowout.
Yeah,
I think it was 35 points. They were up, something like that. They looked at the end of the bench and, hey, get in the game. Dude gets an and one. And this
might be one of the first buckets he's gotten in forever.
This is the road crowd doing this.
For Bronny. It really is.
They're chanting everywhere MVP, man.
We're not kidding. Everywhere we go.
Man, you called him a make-a-wish player. That's crazy.
The road crowd is chanting MVP for Bronny when he's at the line.
I would love to hear from him about how he feels about this, like, all seriously, sincerely. Because this can't be like the... Like, you know that there's pity in those MVP chants. You know it.
It's mocking.
And it's not really fair to him because we all know he's not an NBA player.
He didn't do anything wrong.
He's not an NBA player.
But they're mocking him like that kid. It's sad. Stephen A. was right. Come on, Bron.
He needs
LeBron.
You say, like, and I understand people, like, the power dynamics and the levers that he has there. Yeah, I had an opportunity to not put him in this particular circumstance.
Yes.
In fact, J.J. Redick at some point was like, you know, it's my fault because I put him in those in that place. And the question is, what is that place? Because that place right now is just an NBA game.
Yeah.
Like, he just needs to be in a development place because he's a developmental prospect. Like, he's not an NBA player at this point.
No, and he's not.
It really feels sad when he gets out
here. It was sad.
And we keep doing this.
I mean, it was kind of like Schadenfreude in a sense, but it's not his fault. It's just like, it was cool to see. It was weird, I should say, to see MVP chants and hear him on the road.
I was going to confess to Nick Sirianni, but again, I don't need to do that. Maybe I'll do that on Radio Row. But speaking of Radio Row, we are on the road to New Orleans this weekend, courtesy of Flight by Yuengling, Low T Center. Shout out to Mokarem Law, injury lawyers who are, you know, making sure that our video streams all go well. And then, of course, Exclusive Furniture going to have us with the hot seat. But on the road down there, we stumbled upon an issue that I had not considered. And I got to confess, I am 10 toes down on this. There is going to be a DJ/navigation person. On a road trip, it's different than just riding around the city. And I am certain about this. And there's enough people that have backed me up, whether on the YouTube, who have said, aux cord goes to... Oh, no, actually, they're wrong on the YouTube. They said, don't ever touch a man's radio and drive it to aux cord. Y'all wrong on the YouTube. The text line, the people have popped in and said, no, you know, the driver passenger has to focus on a road trip, and then passenger is navigation and DJ. Or maybe you split those up, but it's like that.
Hey,
and I feel strongly about this.
I'm driving. It's not my rule. It's the rule, though.
See, I'm nervous about this, man, because the guy that's driving is the guy that spilled cereal.
You see it? You
all
see
in
it?
His lap and what all that stuff,
what do you
stuff,
with
man.
The playlist?
Like, nah, I want you to focus on the road.
You're Kevin from The Office spilling chili all over the carpet.
Oh,
that's what
my
you
favorite
are.
Scene.
That's absolutely what you are. No, we don't need you fumbling around in Spotify while
you
we're driving.
You just press a button.
Nah, we got it, dog.
You just press a button.
Yeah, just focus on the road, man.
Yeah, you absolutely need to focus
on
the
Lopez,
road.
I wonder, I never drove with Lopez before. I wonder if Lopez is a fast driver.
If the speed limit is if the speed
75.
Limit,
let's say
if the speed limit is 65, I'm going 74. If it's 75, I'm going about 79.
Oh, you're a chaotic
right over the
that's
speed
perfect.
Limit.
Yeah,
I rode with Reggie one time when we went to
is he a wild man?
Oh man, yeah.
Really?
Did
yeah,
you die
you
though?
You was flying, man.
But did you die though?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
But did you die though?
Yeah. Hey, I'm good, but you a wild man.
Okay. All right. You was good. See, in that instance, you were riding around the city, so I had the aux cord, but in a different instance, I'd have handed off.
And who was working the radio?
I was, but that's because we were just
but
in the city.
Yeah, he got in the car and it was already going. It was going, so we good.
Yeah. Shout out to Mary Beth who texted in. She said she wanted us to play nice. She's a retired teacher. She said, play nice. What we're going to do here, if it's about a six-hour road trip, Figgy gets the first 2 hours. I get the second 2 hours. Lopez gets the next one. And I appreciate that, but I will not acquiesce We are not letting Lopez pick songs.
Yeah. So I wonder, too, are you playing music or are you a, let me throw on this podcast nobody ever listened to but me.
Well, wait for my next confession because I have a related confession.
We're going to have the Bite Me podcast.
I have a related confession.
You're passing
judgment without even knowing what I'm saying.
You are 100%. A sicko if you listening to your own damn podcast in the car.
Welcome in to the Bite Me podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Here's the part where I interviewed this guy about brisket.
Y'all going to know more about fishing than you ever did before.
Oh, goodness, man.
No. Wait for my next confession.
Oh, that means I'm going to nap on the road.
These are my confessions.
So a couple weeks ago, I didn't even tell y'all this, but my cousin, a shout out to my cousin Rodell, who's from Cleveland, Ohio. He just so happened to come down to Houston for like a day because his kid is moving down here.
Oh, okay.
And so he hit me up and said, hey, come through. So I met him up at some like a bar and we just kind of chilling. And he's in a bike club.
A bike, like motorcycle?
Yeah. So he got the vest and all that stuff.
Oh,
wow. He's heavy into it. And so the group he was with is the Houston base group.
Yeah.
I think they part of the Old Men Club.
Yeah.
I want to say Old Men Club.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so this is my confession. So I'm sitting there with a lady who's part of the club too. She asked me if I want to join.
Do you have a bike?
That's the thing. I don't have a bike. I don't even know how to ride a motorcycle.
I was
going to
ask you, have you ever ridden one?
I told her that. I'm like, I don't even know how to ride a bike. She's like, oh, you could get the tricycle. What's the bike?
Oh,
with
the three-wheeler?
Yeah.
Little sidecar or whatever. Get a slingshot.
I'm thinking about it, man.
A slingshot would be cool.
I just, for some reason, I imagine Figgy as somebody's backpack. You're in a bike club, but you're just on someone's back.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
You got yourself a nice lady. That might not be a bad way of playing it.
Hey,
I don't know.
Slingshot, you'd be roll. That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know. I never thought about a bike. Every time I think about a bike club, I always think about these Law & Order episodes where they selling narcotics.
Yeah.
And you got the wire person, the person that's wearing the wire. Coming in like the bike, like I'm part of the gang too, and there's all type of murder and drugs.
You better ask him what you have to do in order to join the club. You might have to like rob somebody or something.
Wait, Figgy, you are a married man.
Yeah.
What does your wife think about motorcycles?
So her dad used to ride motorcycles a lot too.
Oh, you're gonna be all right.
So she's fine with it. I think she rode on motorcycles a couple times when we took her back to college.
Just have her ride a bike, you just be on her back.
She's fine with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At this point, I'm just like, man, I'm too old to sit here and try to learn to ride a bike, man.
So there you go. Just ride her bike. Look, you about to be in the motorcycle club before
we realize.
That'd be
sweet.
Yeah, just give me a nice little vest.
Yeah.
And get Figgy on it on the front. A little leather vest.
You got the name for it, man. That'd be sweet.
That would be tough on the leather. The vest.
Figgy.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
All right, I will do this when it comes to the playlists for our drive.
Okay,
I will let you pick which playlist on my Spotify, which I'm looking at right now.
Boo, this man!
But you only can get to see the name of the playlist. Let me give you a few.
All right, I feel like
get the headphones.
I feel like our first video, because again, you want to make sure you follow Sports Radio 610 on Instagram and at the Figgy Fig on Instagram. I feel like our first video is just going to be us deciding on Saturday morning or Sunday morning rather what music is actually getting played in the car.
Yeah, this one. Let me give you like five. These are my top five playlists. Lopez Greatest Songs Ever.
Ain't no way.
That's just a hodgepodge of everything you can imagine, every type of music. From, you know, polkas and cumbias to funk to 90s, whatever.
He does have a good bass in funk, though. I do appreciate that.
Well, my next most playlist is top 50 70s funk hits.
All right.
I'll get down with that.
Dirty South 2000s.
Oh.
I don't know about that one, man.
Christina Aguilera.
Pass.
Mozart and more.
We're not doing that.
Oh, no.
I mean, I like Mozart. I like classical, but we're not going to do that.
Big Pimpin'.
I'm intrigued. I'm interested.
Okay.
I'll hear you out.
Mexican Wedding.
That could be fun. I just feel like that's fun in stints.
But 5 hours?
Yeah, like, I don't know if we're doing that for the whole drive.
Yeah.
And Poolside, which Poolside is just a bunch of, like, obviously, you know, kind of outside, sitting by the pool. Got a little Tom Jones on there, a little Rolling Stones. Little Swinging Blue Jeans, Tammy Wynette, George Strait, Al Green, Soulja Boy.
Yeah, see that,
what?
See,
that's Tammy Wynette and Soulja Boy in the same sentence. Yes, is hilarious.
See, that's what I'm worried about. I feel like Lopez gonna pull out some of the most commercialized basic rap songs. We gonna be listening to 50 Cent in the club, Biggie Hypnotize, and like, at that point, got it.
I do love on the YouTube. They were like, "Y'all need to rent a car." We did, because what you thought I was gonna sit in the spot where Lopez spilled milk from his cereal? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. These are my confessions. All right, I guess I will confess that I have rethought a little bit of my Nick Sirianni. Let's face it, hate. Mm-hmm. I don't like giving him credit. I don't feel like he is like a particularly great coach. I feel like he has been supported by having some really, really good coordinators, as evidenced by, as we were talking about, in what was it, 2022?
Mm-hmm.
Good offense. Sirianni leaves. Good defense. Gannon leaves. They bring in new coordinators, including Brian Johnson. And it kind of falls off, especially as he has an iron fist there on the offense.
Yeah.
They clear that out. And at least what it feels like is Howie Roseman's like, no, these are who you're going to work with. Here's Vic Fangio and here's Kellen Moore. All of a sudden, we back to business and you're in the Super Bowl again. Like, it does feel like that. However, the man who hired Andy Reid, one of the things he was talking about is something that when it comes to hiring head coaches, there's not a single thing that you look for necessarily that is going to tell you whether your coach is a head coach is good. And that's something I've always talked about. But the one thing he did identify is that when he was hiring, they did a study, and with everything, every person they talked to, there was one thing that came together was being detail oriented. This is Nick Sirianni talking about his defense, his Eagles defense, and how they've been able to create so many turnovers.
This year, Pat Dolan, our video guy, got me every peanut punch that he forced a fumble with his entire career, and we watched that on a loop as coaches, and then we showed that to the players as well. But you know, so we emphasize the crap out of it because we know it's such a telling stat in this game. Our guys have done a nice job protecting it. Our defensive guys have done a nice job taking it away.
That sounds pretty detail-oriented to me. So I will give him that credit.
To the point where, I don't know if it was on the broadcast or somewhere else that I saw it, that like the odds of getting a fumble when somebody's getting up after they fall with the peanut punch is even higher, and they've gotten fumbles like that.
Yeah,
so it's pretty detailed.
They've been very good at it. He said, give me every single instance of Peanut Tillman punching the football. I want to see every single one.
Yeah.
And so shout out to Nick Sirianni in that way. I will acquiesce and give you some credit. Not that you care about whether I personally give you credit. But there you go. Those are our... Unless, Figgy, you got one more?
I think I'm good.
Right,
I'm
good.
I can say this one.
I do appreciate that Wesley came back into YouTube and said, no. Y'all need to rent a separate car away from Lopez's car. And I guess I need to apologize because from the 346, they said, thanks a lot because for the Figgy in a backpack. Mental image. I almost fell doing dips in the gym. Be safe.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Somebody say y'all driving silent to New Orleans. I do have a book to read, so I might read anyways. I'll probably be good if there's no music anyways. But there you go. Those are our confessions here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, let's return to the Rockets, where there's a little bit of a trend that's developed, particularly in this month of January. And I wonder, does it concern you at all, or are you able to wipe it away? We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Happy Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. People on the text line really want you to get you a Harley, get you a motorcycle of some sort.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like the jackets, man.
You can just get a jacket too.
And they, man, no bike. I don't want to call them bike gangs, but they're bike clubs.
Yeah,
they be on it though, man. Yeah. They be having like the chief, the commissioner. Mm-hmm. They be having these titles,
treasurer, and everything.
Yeah, some people gotta, you know, entertain the other crew that come in.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Galveston has one of the biggest bike rallies anywhere.
Didn't realize that. And shout outs. I mean, we need more social clubs in this day and age. And shout out to all the bike clubs.
Shout out to the bikers out there.
That's right,
man.
Bikers having that nice social circle in there for them. All right. Rockets unfortunately fall to the Memphis Grizzlies 120-119. Last second shot went up for Fred VanVleet, did not go in, could not get the board and put it back up, and so they fail on the opportunity to sweep the Grizzlies on the season series, which would have been the first time that was done by the Rockets in 15 years. But still, a largely good showing. No Alperen Şengün in there. Obviously, you're missing some of the other guys like Jabari Smith Jr. that you kind of haven't had of late anyways. But in this game, I think you saw a few things. But whenever the Rockets are playing, it kind of jars me into like looking at certain stats here and there. And one of the things, let's start here. If I was just going to talk about the Houston Rockets to say what has been their identity this season specifically, what does Ime Udoka want their identity to be, John Lopez?
Well, we all know what that is. Defense, rebounding, getting and protecting to the rim.
Absolutely. Those are the things that you put as the calling card of this Houston Rockets team. Except I periodically I'll jump in and just look at what the team stats are, and some of this has been because I've been trying to look at this offense rating and the ways that the Rockets have really climbed up. Literally a 10th best offensive rating in the league over the entirety of the season. And if I just narrow this down to the last month, in this month of January, they literally have a 8th best offensive rating in the league. But then if I slide over one slide, you know, on the chart there, it comes up to defensive rating. And in the month of January, the Rockets' defensive rating is 17th.
Yeah.
This was at one point a second or third best defense in the league. And if I drop this back out to like the full season, what the defensive rating ultimately comes out as, they'll still be the fourth best defense over the entirety of it.
But lately,
in this last month, the run of play, they have had the 17th best defense by that metric in the league. Does that concern you at all? Because I understand that I'm bringing this up in an instance where they lost a close game in a stretch where it broke a four-game win streak that contained them beating the Cleveland Cavaliers twice, defeating the reigning NBA champions in the Boston Celtics on their home floor, right? And then getting a tough win, hard-fought win on the second night of a back-to-back in Atlanta. Like, I understand that is the context with which I am talking about. However, that number is standing right there, and that is what they want to do well first and foremost.
Look, if you're asking, does it concern me? I mean, obviously, you know, everyone wants that number to be better, wants them to stay consistent on the defensive side. I got to say, though, it doesn't really bother me like, oh my gosh, what has happened? Their defense is falling off for a couple of reasons. The first one is the way they're playing right now, and this almost sounds too simple, but it's real. They're winning. They are scoring. They are finishing games, which is something I've talked about a lot going into the season and during the season. They have a new rotation. As we saw last night, it didn't work out, where they have two or three guys, which might not be ideal because you want a guy to go to at the end of a game. They have two or three guys that they can go to at the end of the game that can actually put pressure on the opposing defense. And then the second reason is last night really did this for me. Watching this game, they really missed Jabari. They really missed Jabari. Dylan Brooks got overwhelmed, it wasn't like, he was getting run over, but he fouled out. He had a hard time. They didn't have a lot of other options. Alpi was out. And so on the defensive side, you could really have used Jabari. So you talk about the last month. That's about the same time Jabari went out.
That's right. And you talked about Dylan Brooks, bringing it back to the specifics of this game. Like I said, I was watching this game more attentive than I have some of these other games, but it was just like maximum attention. What is happening offense for this team? What are they trying to get to? What is the defense trying to counteract? And for the Rockets, on offense, I mentioned they were trying to, get switches and attack that drop defense, try and get downhill, and then in some of those instances, pull up shots when you had that space. For the Grizzlies, what they were trying to do? While the Rockets have length, the Grizzlies operate with a decent amount of size, and they were trying to get mismatches and just use their size against them. And one of those places was Dylan Brooks likes guarding up. He likes guarding big as a dude who probably profiles as like a little bit of a three, kind of a wing technically, but he likes playing almost like a big. They're like, oh, we're good with that, especially with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
His improved
play. He took advantage.
He's been so much better off the dribble, and he took advantage, and they were able to attack that in particular. That gets a little bit, you have a little bit of malleability in that. You can navigate that a little better if you do have Jabari Smith Jr. And even we've seen one of the reasons why Alperen misses this game is you see, he's been banged up a little bit. You've been able to see that even defensively with him. As a guy who is not inherently, innately a defensive guy, he has had effort. He has had to put a lot more effort into make his defense more palatable when they play. But when he's out there alone, and then also when he's hampered, he looks a lot different than when he's playing alongside Jabari Smith Jr., or at least when you can have some of that involved there. And of course, this is a very specific situation. Most of the times, having Dylan Brooks play stout defense and then having help side defense with Amen Thompson coming out the sky and grabbing shots out of the middle of the air.
Last night,
he had a double block. Was that Zach Edey?
I don't know who it was.
One of these big monstrous.
God! He just came.
But in a particular instance where maybe you find yourself against bigs, Jabari would help in those instances where you could kind of play two bigs at the same time, or at least have a better rotation where it's not just Steven Adams by himself, and maybe you add another.
And he's one that he's going to have limited minutes.
Right, you know? And so I do wonder if like Jabari affects this at all. But that might be one of the reasons why. Do you think that there are any other reasons why you might have gotten to this place where now you're sitting at 17th defensively on the month?
Well, yes, I do, and I think we saw that last night as well. This is kind of where this conversation started for me, anyway. Like, oh, I see what they're doing. Like we said, with Şengün out, Jabari out, etc. They made Memphis. They had a very concerted effort. How many times did you see the ball fake in a drive, or the ball fake in a pass in a drive, of really passing on a lot of three pointers? I believe they had more 2-point makes than 3-point makes last night. That's not them.
Who, the Grizzlies?
Yeah. And so what they were doing is like, okay, they're a little bit weak. They're going to stretch their defense. We're going to attack and either get fouled or get a bucket. I'll have to look that up. I think that was the case. They had a game plan that other teams are going to follow. It's like, all right, let's just attack them, because even with Jabari there, that might be the best way to attack the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies didn't shoot particularly great from three just in general. Only got 28 three-pointers up and shot 32% from there. But yeah, man, it does feel like you're some of that size that you have been benefiting for, and you have length, right, and athleticism that's helped make up for that with the likes of Amen and then Dylan Brooks, as I mentioned. But like, yeah, I think some of that size is there. I don't know. The offense has ticked up in a way over this stretch that is really kind of made up for that and more. As I mentioned, right, you've been winning all this stretch. Like in the month of January, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 losses. In fact, as of right now, you have the most wins in January at 11. I think that there might be a team or two that could tie that tonight. But you will absolutely end the month with the most number of wins, whether it's outright by yourself or tied with another team. Like, they've been able to get these wins. And that's why I asked, like, is this concerning at all? Because maybe you look up and you go, yes, the defense came back a little bit, but it's because the offense has stepped forward. They've knocked down threes at a higher rate. They've been able to do that. Even while losing some of these players, this is just a team that finds the right, that moves the dials and switches the levers in such a way where as long as whatever combination of what they're doing, they find a way to win. And so maybe that's how you wipe this away. But the reason why it's been front and center for me is just because I know that Ime, this is what he wants.
No, he wants it.
To have high level.
We want
defense.
It. He wants it. You clearly are going to get better once you get healthier and players back on the floor. But I still feel like that's the template defensively. That's the template offensively that teams are going to try with this Rockets team, because they're not a huge team anyway.
No.
And I just looked it up. The Grizzlies made 9 three-pointers.
Yeah.
39 two-pointers.
Yeah.
So that tells you, without even looking at the game, they were attacking from the get-go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Somebody said y'all forgot about fighting as part of the Rockets' identity. This is a scrappy bunch, and I imagine you might have been talking about fighting in a different way. But no, it's a scrappy bunch, and ultimately... Yeah, maybe that's the way that you did the hey, man, as long as they're scrappy and they get themselves to the places that they want to go. Plus, with Cam Whitmore getting more time, not saying that he can't play defense, because he absolutely has played defense, but that's more of an offensively inclined player. You missed Tari for a nice stretch in there. That's more of a defensively inclined player that you typically have out there. So maybe that's ultimately all this is. And we'll see that as these guys, Tari obviously being back, maybe once Jabari comes back, that evens out a little bit. But it was an interesting thing that I've been noticing with this team. Now, with that, I think that this might complicate a little bit. I don't think it complicates in a big way, because Amen Thompson has just proved himself to be at least a star in the role for what you have him here for, and maybe just a star outright in the National Basketball Association. But does this complicate a little bit once Jabari does return in, maybe a month or whatever? I understand I'm talking pretty early out. But does this complicate this at all? Because seeing what Jabari brings defensively and being able to rebound and corral some of those things, having him as a dude coming off the bench, like, are you able to get the similar amount of minutes to where he could still have that impact, or are you going to have to consider possibly finding more minutes or a different level of rotation to get him better involved?
Yeah, I think that's going to be an easy fix, and I think the Rockets, with their depth, you're not going to see any Jock Landale. You're going to see fewer minutes from some of the other bigs because Jabari is going to get those minutes, and you can account for them. I mean, who knows? You know where they're going to come from, but they have. Especially with their bigs, air quotes, they're going to be able to find him the minutes.
Yeah, and maybe we just go to the simple thing, which 832 and the 281 both bring up at the same time, which is strength of schedule. How much does that affect it? You did play a lot of tough teams in the month of January, starting with the Mavericks literally on the first day of this calendar year. The Celtics you have played twice in this month. You've played the Grizzlies twice in this month. You've played the Atlanta Hawks. You played the Atlanta Hawks at one time. You played the Cavs twice in this month. You played the Nuggets in this month. Like, you've played a lot of good teams. How much do you want to look at the Los Angeles Lakers, who put up 115 points in that game? Like, maybe you just chalk this up to you've played some staunch competition in this month. But I just found that to be an interesting thing that very much varies from we were really celebrating the top three defense that this team had, and it has not been the same. But I think that you can ultimately wear it as a badge of honor that regardless of, you know, seeing that rating, that metric fall, that they've managed to find ways to win and continue winning against some of the best teams in the league.
I think that's fair. We talked about it yesterday. They've had an incredible tough schedule here. They've thrived, and it gets a lot easier from here on out, and you're going to get healthier.
Yeah, and talking about getting easier, tomorrow, Saturday, February 1st, as you turn the month into February, maybe start a new opportunity to have a really good rating. You start at home versus the Brooklyn Nets, 7 p.m. at Toyota
Center. You got your tickets?
I do not. I do not. I thought about maybe going out there. I think it's like I think Rockets Twitter.
Yeah.
Rockets have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, like Twitter.
Man, you know, one of them. They're vocal, that's for sure.
Shout out to Brado, man. He do a really good job, 100%. Man. Brado.
And then Will, I think also.
Will, shout out to Will.
I think they're having kind of a meetup of folks on Rockets Twitter at Toyota Center. But it also, getting them back home is going to be fun as well. It's one quick one before they go on another road trip, but it'll be fun to have them home. Like, Houston has really shown up for the Rockets, and they've delivered on the court, as is evidenced by their record of 32-15. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to the Astros, as a target that we had seen discussed has now been taken off the board. So is it actually Bregman time now? I don't know what. Let's discuss that next.